The first two are questions. Isartem and Eiravtem. Did you make the Erev? And we spoke about yesterday, is this an Erev Chatzer, is this an Erev Tchumen? Maybe it's both. Isartem. Did you take off Trumos and Maestros off of the food that we're going to be eating? These are two things that you're not able to tell necessarily by looking. You can't necessarily, you don't necessarily know if an Erev was made. You don't know where the Erev food was put. Isartem, was Trumos and Maestros taken off? You don't necessarily know just by looking in the fridge if Trumos and Maestros was taken off. However, the third statement is Hiliku es Haner. This, Rashi tells us, is not a question, but it's a statement. How do you know that it's not a question? So Rashi says, because it would be a foolish question. If you want to know if the candles were lit, just look at the place where your wife lights the candles and see, were the candles lit or were the candles not lit? And therefore, Rashi says, this is not a question, it is a statement. That Hiliku es Haner is the last, or one of the last activities that you do before Shabbos. So after asking if she isartim and eravtem, so you say to her, okay, so now let's go. It's time to light the candles. Let's light the Shabbos candles. Agav, why do we have Shabbos candles? So there's three reasons probably why we have lighting Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles are Kavod Shabbos. Kavod Shabbos, it gives honor to Shabbos. If you walk into a shop, to a table, and there's candles lit on the table, the house is illuminated with lots of light. It gives a lot of kavod to Shabbos. There's an element of oneg Shabbos. It's certainly more enjoyable to eat in a room that's well lit. It helps the Shabbos meal, the Shabbos experience, be more enjoyable. And in addition, shalom bayis, that when it's dark, people are tripping over each other and spilling things on each other, so everyone gets into fights. But when there's plenty of light in the house, so it allows for a kavod Shabbos. This is one of the mitzvos that even though the woman doesn't have to be the one to do it, man could also light Shabbos candles. It's one of the mitzvos that the women are usually the primary ones responsible for this mitzvah. It's one of their mitzvahs. They're lighting the Shabbos candles. So the husband says to the wife, Hidliku, or Hadliku is the proper sivoy, Hadliku is Haner, that you should light the Shabbos candles. Now, the Or Zarua here points out that this Mishnah reads really smoothly if you hold like the Bahag. The Shita of the Bahag, which is mentioned in Hilchos Chanukah, is that if you need to either light Shabbos candles, when you have on an Erev Shabbos of Chanukah, when you have the choice of first lighting either Shabbos candles or first lighting Chanukah candles, which one should you light first? So the Bahag argues that you must first light the Chanukah candles, because once you light the Shabbos candles, you have been mekabel Shabbos, and then you're no longer able to light the Chanukah candles. A similar phenomenon, by the way, happens if you light Shabbos candles yourself, and you light Shabbos candles for your Mekabel Shabbos before davening Mincha. I remember when I was in yeshiva, so I got very excited at one point about trying to be Mekabel Shabbos early. So one of the first Shabboses that I did it, I was Mekabel Shabbos in the dorm before I went to go to shul, and then I got to shul and I started davening Mincha, and I said, wait a second, if I was Mekabel Shabbos already, how am I davening Mincha of Chol if I was Mekabel Shabbos already? That was the wrong thing to do, because once you're Mekabel Shabbos, so it's Shabbos. So therefore, says the Bahag, lighting candles is a Kabbalah of Shabbos. Once you're Mekabel Shabbos, you can't light Chanukah candles anymore. And therefore, even though one could make the argument that you should light Shabbos candles first, because Tadir v'she'eno Tadir Kodem, the thing that comes more regularly we do first, but says the Bahag that you must light Chanukah candles first, because if not, you wouldn't be able to light your Chanukah candles after lighting Shabbos candles. So the Or Zarua points out in our Sugya that for the Bahag, the Mishnah reads really smoothly. You say Isartem, you ask Isartem, you ask Eravtem. When your wife answers in the affirmative, yes, I've done all those things, you say, great. So we're all done with our preparations. Hadliku es Haner. Go ahead, start Shabbos. Meaning, is the blech set? Okay, are the lights all set for Shabbos? Shabbos clocks are all on? Great, let's start Shabbos. So, right, I've sometimes had that in my house, sometimes. Certainly a couple of years ago, we used to do this pretty regularly, that we would be mekabel Shabbos at home. This is a whole discussion. I would daven early mincha at like 1 o'clock, and then we would start the Shabbos meal, mekabel Shabbos early, Now, with daven Ma'ariv later, we'll discuss with the Gra whether that's okay, whether it works according to all shitas, but we would be Makabel Shabbos. When we were ready to be Makabel Shabbos, we would sit down and have the Shabbos meal with the kids, and then I would go daven Ma'ariv. I used to catch Ma'ariv here in the yeshiva. When the yeshiva got up to Ma'ariv, after all the dancing, I was already done. I remember Rav Cohn, I used to come into the minyan. I would walk into the minyan, and Rav Cohn would be like, "You ate already?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm going to go home for dessert after Ma'ariv." I would come to the yeshiva, daven Ma'ariv, and then go home and have dessert. The meal was already over. So then, how would it work on our Shabbat? How would it work? I would say to my wife at a certain point, like, "Okay, are we all ready?" And she would say, "Yeah, everything's ready. You know, food's cooked. The blech is all set up. The lights are all set." So I would say, "Okay, great. Shalom aleichem." Or I wouldn't become shul, so I wouldn't say shalom aleichem. But that was it. We would be makabel Shabbos. We're being makabel Shabbos. Let's start Shabbos. So here, the Bahag says, that's the Orzo Rosh says, according to the Bahag, the Mishnah reads beautifully. Isartem, Eravtem, excellent. Lights, camera, action. Hadliku asaner, let's start Shabbos. And that's what the Orzo Rosh notes, that this Mishnah reads really nicely according to the Bahag. This sheet of the Bahag has the sheet, and he even thinks that Rashi doesn't learn like the Bahag, and you see it from his interpretation here. Where he gets that from, Rashi, I'm not 100% sure. Yesterday, we came up with a couple of possibilities. Is it just like etzim the fact that Rashi doesn't say like this? This is such a clear and nice way to explain the Mishnah. Hadliku Sener means start Shabbos. Rashi doesn't say that. So is it from the fact that Rashi doesn't say it? Is that the indication? Or is there something else that implies that? So we're going to leave that on the side right now. But the Orzo Rosh certainly thinks that the implication is that Rashi does not hold like the Bahag. So is the Bahag just a renegade shita? Or is the Bahag a very important shita that we hold like? So as we're going to see, that there are going to be many that argue with the Bahag, but we might see that in the Shulchan Aruch, the Bahag plays a very central role in the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch. So let's begin the sikha. So Rosh HaMedavrim, of those who argue with the Bahag, is the Ramban. The Ramban says a number of arguments when he takes on the Bahag. Remember, the Bahag was one of the Gaonim, the Baal Halachos Gedolos. We assume that the Sefer was written by somebody named Rav Shimon Kayara. For a while, people thought it was Yehudoigon. Yehudoigon wrote something else called the Halachos Pesukos. It's probably the work of Yehudoigon. This is Rav Shimon Kayara, also one of the Gaonim, and certainly from the Tkufa of the Gaonim. The Gaonim is a term that was officially used for the Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva of Surah and Pumbedisa. The title of the Rosh Hashiva wasn't Rosh Hashiva. It was Gaon Yaakov. That was the name of the, that was the title of the head of the Yeshiva of Surah and Pumbedisa. The same Surah and Pumbedisa from times of the Amorayim continued all the way to the period of the Gaonim. The Yeshiva of Surah, I think, lasted for 800 years. So the Gaonim with a capital G is the name of the Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshivas in Surah and Pumbedisa. But any great rabbi who lived during the time period of the Gaonim, so we refer to them as one of the Gaonim. So, what was that? The word Gaon means a brilliant person. So now, you know, so someone will say, "Oh, Harava Gaon." Everybody, I mean, I think everybody gets to be called Harava Gaon nowadays. But that's just a honorific title that we use nowadays. But the Gaonim, the time period of the Gaonim, so, right, we don't say like, "Oh my gosh, he's such a Rishon." And we don't say that about someone. But we say, "Oh my gosh, he's such a Gaon." But that's, again, that's just the word Gaon means brilliant. So, a brilliant person. So, one of the Gaonim, Rav Shimon Kayara, wrote a sefer called the Bahag. I believe that he's the one that we associate as the author of the Bahag. And the Rambam, for instance, says that he wrote a sefer on mitzvos in response to the Bahag, because the Bahag had a list of mitzvos, and the Rambam didn't like all of his list. And therefore, he wrote his sefer on mitzvos as a response to the Bahag. So the Bahag is the one who postulates this, and Hadlakas Neos is the Kabbalah Shabbos. The Ramban disagrees. He agrees both on the Hanukkah terms and on the Shabbos terms. In terms of Hanukkah candles, he says for sure you should light Hanukkah candles first. You should light Shabbos candles first. Tadir Bishenu, Tadir, Tadir Kodesh. For sure Shabbos candles come first. You're going to tell me there's an issue of Kabbalah Shabbos? There's no issue of Kabbalah Shabbos. Why in the world should lighting candles on Friday afternoon, right? You're not lighting candles after Shkia. You're not allowed to light candles after Shkia. It's already Shabbos. So you're lighting candles on Friday afternoon. Why should an act that you do on Friday afternoon issue in Shabbos? It's not Shabbos yet. Shabbos starts at night. And don't tell me, "Oh, but on Yom Kippur, we start Yom Kippur early. Yom Kippur starts during the afternoon." an hour before it gets dark. We're already finishing our Suda Mafsekes, and that's it. We clap and we say, all right, we're being mekabel upon ourselves Yom Kippur. So says the Ramban, granted by Yom Kippur, because by Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah d'oraisa of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. It's a mitzvah to add on to Yom Kippur. So therefore, on Erev Yom Kippur, you can do something which ushers in Yom Kippur. But why in the world should Shabbos, doing something on Erev Shabbos, issue in Shabbos, usher in Shabbos? It's not Shabbos yet. So why in the world should lighting candles on Erev Shabbos create Shabbos? For sure, says the Ramban, the reason why we light them early, and even earlier than early, and you got to light it before Shabbos starts, but you might even light it before that. The reason you do that is for convenience, says the Ramban. You don't want to be rushing at the last second. You realize that if it's 30 seconds until Shkia, you want to start lighting the candles, you might accidentally light them on Shabbos. So it's just much less stressful in the house to light candles 10 minutes before, 20 minutes before, 30 minutes before, an hour before. It's just less stressful. Light the candles. Isartim, Eraftim, okay, good. Go light the candles now so we don't have to have stress later. The third argument, or the next argument that the Ramban makes, is from the Brisa in Shabbos. There's a Brisa in Shabbos that describes the process of Erev Shabbos in terms of playing music over loudspeakers in religious neighborhoods, right? That's a zecher to what the Brisa tells us. What does the Brisa tell us? That before Shabbos, they used to blow shofar blasts in the community in order to tell people that Shabbos was ut, it's almost Shabbos. I have a relative who lives in Yerushalayim, who has taken it upon himself in Yerushalayim to be the shofar blower from Yerushalayim. The first time I went to his house for Shabbos, all of a sudden, I'm sitting in the living room, like waiting to go to shul, and I hear, and I look in the other room, and he's sitting there blowing a shofar out his window. And I said, what are you doing? He said, what do you mean? It's in the Gemara. You got to blow a shofar in order to tell people that it's Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara says, that you blow shofar. And after the shofar, first shofar blast, the community, what does it say? What do you do after the first shofar blast? Stop working in the fields. Okay. Second shofar blast. Close the stores. Good. Third shofar blast. Okay, what are the opinions? So it says light candles, let's say. Let's say it says light candles. Light candles at the third blast. Then what does it say? Then fourth, fifth, and sixth. But what does it say after that? Your shoheh, you wait, you pause, in order to fry a fish. So the Ramban says, look, what does it say? It says light candles at the third shofar blast. Then fry your fish. Whoa, 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 how can you fry fish? According to the Bahag, it's already Shabbos. According to the Bahag, after the third shofar blast, you've already been mekabel Shabbos. How are you going and frying a fish? So the Ramban says, you see very clearly from the Braisa that Havlokas Neros is not a Kabbalah of Shabbos. These are the Ramban's arguments, and for this reason the Ramban disagrees with the Bahag. The Rashba adds an extra little knach, and the Rashba says, yeah, and if, furthermore, I agree with everything the Ramban said, my Rebbe the Ramban said, but in addition, if the Bahag is right, you should only be able to light one candle. Because once you light a candle, that's it, it's Shabbos. How can you light the second candle? And Minhag Yisrael is certainly to light at least two candles for Shomer V'Zachar. And therefore, seemingly according to the Bahag, anyone who lights that second candle for a Shomer is being Mechal Shabbos. Isn't that really ironic? To light a candle for Shmira Shabbos, to be Mechal Shabbos with lighting that candle? So it's got to be that the Bahag is wrong. Now, the Ran responds to the Ramban and the Rashba and attempts to address all of their rayas because the Ran agrees with the Bahag and tries to support the view of the Bahag. First of all, we should just point out already with the, some of the responses I think are pretty, I don't want to say obvious, but something that I'm sure many of you are able to think of on your own. So let's go through the Ran, and if there are any other suggestions that you might have, we'll take those at the end. So the Ran goes almost step by step and addresses each of the issues that the Ramban brought up. Question first? Yeah. No, I think he's saying it's barur. We should say tadir v'shenu tadir. And don't tell me we can't follow the rules of tadir v'shenu tadir kodem because of this bahag, because this bahag is wrong for the following reason. Okay, so the Ran, who is from the same base measures of the Ramban and the Rashba, but he was a little bit later. So the Ran takes the views, all the issues raised by the Ramban, and addresses them one by one. So his first issue that he brings up is the Ramban's comment of, why in the world would you think that doing an action on Erev Shabbos is Mekabel Shabbos? Yom Kippur, I understand, because Yom Kippur has Tosefes Yom Kippurim. But why should an act on Erev Shabbos be construed as a Kabbalah Shabbos? So the Ramban says that it's pretty easy to respond to this, and that is that just like there's a concept called Tosefes Yom Kippurim, there's also a concept called Tosefes Shabbos. So just like the Ran almost says back to the Ramban, you know, Hagufa, just like as you yourself admit on Yom Kippur, doing an act on Erev Yom Kippur can usher in Yom Kippur, so too doing an act on Erev Shabbos can usher in Shabbos. What in the world are you talking about, Mr. Ramban or Rabbi Ramban? So what would the Ramban respond? It could be that the Ramban holds that there's no such thing as Tosefes Shabbos. Now, as you immediately start tearing Kriya because you think I am uttering words of Apikarsis, how can the Ramban not accept the principle of Tosefes Shabbos? So you would perhaps therefore be surprised to know that there were other great voices that did not accept the principle of Tosefes Shabbos. Indeed, the Kesef Mishnah argues that if you look throughout the Rambam does not pass in anywhere that there is a concept called Tosefes Shabbos. If you look in the Rambam's Hilchos Shvisos Asur, and you take a look where the Rambam discusses the laws of Yom HaKippurim, so there, the Rambam says very clearly that there is a mitzvah to add onto Yom HaKippurim. Kshem sheshvus malacha bo bein biyom bein b'layla kach shvus li'inoy bein biyom bein b'layla b'tzarech lahosif mechol al hakodesh b'knisaso u'b'yitziyaso shenemar v'yanisa misnafsho seichem b'tishu l'chodesh perev. The pasuk says something very strange. You should suffer on the 9th of Tishrei. That's very strange because Yom Kippur is the 10th of Tishrei. Why does the pasuk say on the 9th? It says Batisha Lachodesh Ba'erev, the 9th in the evening. Now, if that just means like when the 9th is over in the evening, meaning when the 10th starts, so it just says, let's say, on the 10th. We know that in Halacha, a Jewish day starts at night. Why do we say at the 9th? At night. So says the Rambam, Klomar, Hischil Latsum Ulahanos, Be'erev Tisha HaSamach Lasiri. You need to start before the day begins. Pasuk in the Torah, by highlighting the 9th, it teaches me that there's something called Tosefes Yom HaKippur. And therefore you need to add a little bit. B'chein b'yitziyaso. And so too at the end, you add a little bit. So if you take a look at the Magid Mishnah here, halach above. So the Magid Mishnah, I believe here, makes reference that on Shabbos, the Rambam does not write the same thing. Here we go. Says the Rambam, says the Magid Mishnah. So he says the Rambam learns that the Tosefes is only for inoy, meaning for not eating and drinking, and you know, the other things we're not supposed to do. Aval lo biasias malacha, but the Rambam says it specifically in the context of inoy, not eating, not drinking. Right, we know that there are five things we're not supposed to do on Yom Kippur, five things that are a form of suffering. Aval lo biasias malacha, but it's meduyik in the Rambam that you don't have to start Yom Kippur early in terms of doing malacha, and says. So what do you start? You start with the Inuyim. You don't start with the Isra Malacha. Lo b'yom ha-kifurim, v'lo b'shavosos. And that's why he writes here, your maskil latsum ulis anos. He doesn't say start Yom Kippur early. He says stop eating early. And therefore, and that is, you know, the That's the sheet of the Rambam. Then he points out at the end of the Magen Mishnah, but most of the other Rishonim learn that there's a mitzvah of Tosefes min HaTorah, afilu b'Shabbos v'yotim. So that's what the Magen Mishnah says. If you look in Hilchos Shabbos now, so that's the Magen Mishnah being the Daik in the Rambam in the Halachos of Yom Kippur. If you look in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Hey, Halacha Gimel, so he says, Hamadik tzarech lahadlik mi ba'od yom, kodim shkiyim. So on this, this is talking about what you do on Erev Shabbos. You light your candles during the day. The Kesef Mishnah, Rav Yosef Karo, author of the Shulchan Aruch, comments, Rabbeinu lo hizkir po din tosefes michol ala kodesh. The Rambam here does not mention the din of Tosefes Shabbos. Because of Harav HaMagid, B'perek Aleph, Mehilchos Shvisas Aser, the time of Mishum, the less late Tosefes Devar Torah, El Inoy, Umashmali, the Devar Torah, Shekos of Lavdavka, the Midr Abaranami, less late Tosefes. So says the Kesef Mishnah, I agree with the Magid Mishnah. The Magid Mishnah's Diyuk in the Rambam is good, and I'll even up your ante. Not only is there no Din Midoraisa, which the Magid Mishnah says, I hold there isn't, the Rambam holds there isn't even a Din Midorabanan of Tosefes. There is no concept of Tosefes Shabbos, not the Oraisa, not the Rabbana. So, if the Kesef Mishnah and the Magid Mishnah are right in the Rambam, we have already a very strong voice in Halacha that denies the concept of Tosefes Shabbos. Pella. So, it could very well be that the Ramban and the Ran here are having that machlokas. The Ramban says, granted, and it gives you a little bit of context now, it's an old Yom Kippur reference. Ramban says, granted by Yom Kippur, there's something called Tosefes. So there I understand you can do an act that ushers in at least certain dinim of Yom Kippur early. But Shabbos? Why should an act on Erev Shabbos bring in Shabbos early? Lighting candles on Friday afternoon, that doesn't bring in Shabbos. That's a very Maimonidean approach. The Ran responds and says, what are you talking about? Just like Yom Kippur has Tosefes, so too Shabbos has Tosefes. So it could very well be that the machlokas here between the Ramban and the Ran is really about whether there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos. Okay, that is how the Ran deals with the Ramban's first attack against the Baha'i. Yes, sir. We assume that there is Tosefes Shabbos. We assume that there is Tosefes Shabbos. D'oraisa, d'rabbanan. I'm not sure. What?
What's the reason that we don't believe the Rambam?
We don't always pass it like the Rambam. What? Yeah, but the Rambam has to read that tomorrow. Also. Right. Okay. The Ran's next point. The Ran, in terms of when the Ramban's second point was, isn't it very likely that the reason that you light early candles is not because you're being Mekabel Shabbat, it's just convenience? So regarding this, the Ran says, it could be, but if you look throughout the sugyas, it becomes very clear that Chazal saw the last action that you do on Friday afternoon is lighting candles. And that's significant. That means that there's something significant to the act of lighting candles. He says, and his big raya comes from this brisa that goes through the stages of what you do. And what does it say? It says you take off whatever pots need to be taken off the fire. You do hatmana, which means wrapping and insulating. Whatever's going to be insulated, let's say your shalom is going to be insulated until Shabbos morning. So you do your insulation, and then you light candles. Now, the Ramban notes that that doesn't really need to be the order. Al pi halacha, you're allowed to do hatmana even after shkia. Remember, that was the safek hashecha. Safek, I don't want to say after shkia. Let's say safek hashecha, safek eno hashecha. You're still allowed to be matne. You're still allowed to do hatmana. So, but you're not allowed to light candles after when in safek hashecha, safek eno hashecha. So what should be the order in the brisa? It should say first light candles, and then you're matmin, things that you need to be matmin. then you do the insulation. But the Braitza goes out of its way and it flips the order. It says first be matmin, then light candles. Even though you really could be matmin later. Why does it say that? Probably to teach us a very important thing, says the Ramban. That the last thing Chazal envisioned that you do before, that the Ran, thank you. The Ran says, it's teaching us something very significant that we can extrapolate from this Braitza. That in Chazal's perspective, the last thing you're supposed to do before Shabbos is light candles. It's the last act that you do. And that certainly suggests that that is how we start Shabbos. The last thing we do is we light candles, even though we don't need to. We really could do Hatmana afterwards, but the Braitza says light candles last, because in Chazal's perspective, that should be the last thing that you do. The last issue that he needs to address in the Ramban, in the Ramban, is the frying the fish. Doesn't it say that we blow the shofar a third time, everybody lights candles, then shohet to give people an opportunity to fry a fish, let everybody goes and fries their fish, and then the last three blows of the shofar, and we start Shabbos. So, doesn't that imply, says the Ramban, that lighting candles does not usher in Shabbos? So the Ran responds and says, you totally misread that braisa. That braisa is not saying that you're supposed to fry a fish, and that we fry fish afterwards. Rather, what it means is that we wait the amount of time that it takes to fry a fish before we do the final shofar blasts. And he says the reason, first of all, he says that the way that the Ramban was reading it was that frying the fish was talking about the one who was lighting the candles. That's the same guy. You light candles after the third shofar blast, then you go and you fry your fish. Says the Ran, no. Frying the fish is talking about the shofar blower, not about the candle lighter. And it's not talking about frying fish. It's talking about waiting. You, the shofar blower, wait that amount of time. Why do you wait that amount of time? He says, because not every house runs exactly the same. Some people have lots of pots that they need to do matmana on or take off. Some people have much less pots on their stove. Some people are taking a little bit of time. They're a little bit late. They're still in the shower and they haven't had a chance to light candles yet. So there needs to be a window of time that we allow for different households to do things at different pace. And therefore, what's the amount of time we wait between blast number 3 and blasts 4, 5, and 6? The amount of time it takes for a first person to fry a fish. But it doesn't mean that the guy who lit candles is then supposed to go and fry his fish then. And therefore, this is how the Ran responds to the Ramban. And the truth is that it's a very good reading, the Ran's reading. To me, it seems, again, I'm not going to be Machnis Roshi between these two great opinions, but I certainly, when I first time I read the Braisa, I didn't think that it meant to actively go and fry a fish at that time. I thought it meant shoah. I think even the Lashon is shoah kidei. You shoah the amount of time that it takes in order to fry a fish. One last comment, and then I'll take your questions. How do we respond to the Rashba's question of, hey, how can you light the second candle once you've lit the first candle? It's Shabbos. So what would you say? Right, that the Bahag didn't mean that once you light the first candle, you're done. He means that the act of lighting candles is Mekabel Shabbos. So once you're done lighting the candles, obviously it doesn't mean once you light the first candle. It means lighting the candles. Yeah, question.
Two questions.
Please.
I really think that it's a good reading of to say that that's just a sheer how long we wait for the next thing. But then what's the significance of saying frying fish?
You're saying, is that a standard measurement of time unit in that time?
Like,
okay, and according to the, why is it better, according to, like, why fry a fish as opposed to, like, fry the schnitzel?
I don't think it's better. I agree to say I think it's better. It makes more sense if it's a shear for the next glass. But, like, I understand why the Ramban could also be saying that.
I hear it. Really, you're saying it sounds like a
rant. Like a general unit of
you're saying fish. They probably fried fish every Shabbos because that was part of the preparation. So if you tell the guy to finish his preparations, so that you think could make sense, but as opposed to, like, unless this is like a standard unit of time in Chazal, it's like a strange amount of time. Okay, you have a response to that?
Yeah,
sort of explaining. There's like, drawing a fish is something like you can do pretty quickly. Like, you're not going to tell you, like, make like a roast like 5 minutes before Shabbat.
Right. You say, but frying a fish is quick. Okay. Another question. Yeah, question number two.
So we're saying that, so why could we light the second candle? Because that's just part of the, they were lighting two, but two is the minimum, no? And like, we could light more if we want, so why don't we just say that you do two, and if you do, like, we shouldn't be able to
do. Well, even one is the minimum, you don't need two. Two is also a minimum.
One is fine
also. Okay.
So why don't we just say only one?
That's what the Rashba is saying. Minhag Yisrael is to light more than one, but according to the Bahag, you should only be lighting one. Because once you've lit one, you've been the Shabbos. That's the Iker.
So if we like a bunch, is that not possible? To just light a bunch more? Meaning, like, I understand we're allowed to light more in Minhag Yisrael. Like, it's just part of the action of lighting candles. But if we're lighting, someone's lighting like a ton of candles like in their house, would that be considered Baltosif?
It wouldn't be. Question of why, just a discussion in general, what constitutes Baltosif, what doesn't constitute Baltosif. It's definitely not Baltosif. First, for instance, Baltosif might only be if you think what you're doing is like, if you think it's a mitzvah d'oraisa, what you're doing by lighting the second and third candle, but if you're aware that what you're doing is just being marv or, so then it wouldn't be about those. There are a couple of reasons why it wouldn't be about those, but it's a good question. Yeah.
I feel like you're really cute eager and answers the
Yes, he does. He
better.
Makes that reference.
Yeah.
Like, oh, better? Yeah, why better?
Than the Ravon, because he says that with regards to the bracha is what signifies the start of Shabbos, that if you first light the candles and then you make the bracha, and that's why cover their eyes,
because okay.
You're not supposed to.
Okay.
So, but that basically.
You know, we're gonna get up to it. When we get up to it, then I'm gonna call on you. You point out how this helps with the rush. Okay. No, it's good. It's good. Eitan, yeah.
It's just as mine. Why does that two different things things tell the same sign?
Because it says what? Look, to fry a fish and. Right. unless it just means like the amount of time that people have to do like their basic. Last-minute Shabbos preparations that they haven't done yet. And they just chose two examples, but it's the type of things, like you're not going to go out and hunt and catch an animal and start salting it and cooking it, but the last-minute things like, you know, sticking the bread onto the sides of the oven to let it cook, that you'll probably do. Yeah?
One is, can you say it's not about those one Shabbos candles for owning Shabbos or for, let's say,
so the more the merrier. The more the merrier. Exactly. Okay, good.
Number two is, why can't you say that when you just have kavana, you get nine your head with light first candle?
We'll get there. Good. We'll get there. Yeah.
I think just maybe to answer is that there are Gemaras, like there's Gemara and Sofa, which discusses the high priestly and brings like these examples of cooking again. Like it says like either to swing a pod branch or to fry an egg and eat it. Like this isn't like, you know, unusual necessarily in the Gemara to give like cooking as times.
Very good. Excellent. Good. Very nice.
I mean, since we're lighting more candles, don't the lights like take away some of the aspect?
The lights that we have in our house?
Yeah.
100%.
Less?
No, we should. The more light, the better. Light all the rooms. What?
No, so the candles don't burn themselves.
Yeah.
That's true. That's a big discussion nowadays. I have had situations where I told my wife to make the bracha on lighting light bulbs instead of candles. Depends what kind of light bulbs. Right, the old light bulbs that have the metal string in them, so that according to many shikas, that counts as lighting candles. Definitely the yisod of candle lighting. See, it depends which of the ta'amim that you're talking about. Right, if it's an issue of kavod, so I still think that like having a meal with candles on the table, and you know, like if you were gonna one day you're gonna have like a romantic dinner for your wife on your anniversary. So you're gonna put nice candlesticks on the table and light the candles, right? That's you're not gonna go take a lamp from like, you know, like the what's the thing next to your bed called? The night table and like, honey, I made a special meal, and right in the middle of the table is like your lamp from your but to light candles, right, your Shabbos lamp. But to have candles, that's still kavod. The other reasons
Shalom
like Shalom Bayis, for instance, for sure, more light bulbs that we have in the room, the less, you know, fighting there'll be.
So more
what?
And then, like, I hear, like, hey, we need light, it's all nice. I hear, but now these people in the rooms, to add more candles, just adding more sakana.
Okay, you have to get into the question of whether candles is really a sakana, but. There are fires, yeah, usually it's people who are not being. Usually it's because people aren't being responsible.
If you have, like, 15 candles, it's obviously more of a
chance. True. You can have an electrical fire also. But yeah, you're right. Okay, let's go back there. So, what is what is the halacha lamaisa? Do we hold like we see here that we have a nice, huge machlokes rishonim? We have on the one hand the Ramban arguing with the Bahag and the Rashba on one side. Michal, we'll talk about it later. So we've got on one side of the ring, we've got the Bahag and the Ran on one side of the ring. On the other side of the ring, we have the Ramban and the Rashba. You know, these are all heavyweights. So who do we paskin like? So when you look lahalacha, first of all, we have let's get one more voice of the Rishonim. The Rosh accepts the Ramban's reading of the Braisa, that even after you light, you can still fry a fish, literally fry a fish, because lighting is not Mekabel Shabbos. And the Rosh introduces for us another option of what is Mekabel Shabbos. It says, the Rosh, what's Mekabel Shabbos? Davening Maariv. That would be probably the most obvious option of how you can be Mekabel Shabbos. Where you're Mekabel Shabbos is that you go to shul, and when it's time to start davening, and it gets dark out, and you say Baruch Hu, and you start Shabbos, so you're Mekabel Shabbos with davening. Once you start davening, Shabbos davening. Enoch and Ami, I agree with the Ramban. Lighting candles is something that you do preparatory for Shabbos. It's prep for Shabbos. You do it maybe earlier for convenience. Certainly not being Mekabel Shabbos. But when you go to shul and you start davening Shabbos davening, that's Kabbalah Shabbos. That's being Mekabel Shabbos. And he brings a raya. What's his raya? Remember the Gemara quotes? What does he say? It says the Gemara in Brachos that one of the Amoraim started to daven on Erev Shabbos, Maariv early. And what does the Gemara ask right away? Oh, so you obviously stopped doing Malacha also, right? Because the assumption of that Gemara is once you daven, you also are not going to be able to do Malacha anymore because davening is Kabbalah Shabbos. Okay, so Lamaisa, what are we passing? So when we start out by looking at the Ramah in Reish Samach Gimel, so Shulchan Aruch says, when you light, make a bracha. And says the Ramah, Yesh mi she'omer she'mevarechim kodem hadlacha. Yesh mi she'omer she'mevarech achar hadlacha. There are those who say that you are supposed to light first and then make the bracha. And there are those who say that you say the bracha afterwards. Why would you make the bracha before? That we know. Over lasiyasa. We always try to make a bracha before we do something. Before we do the mitzvah. What about, why would we say that you make the bracha after? So the Magen Avraham, in Sifkat Yud Beis here, says, because if you're mevarech, you're mekabel Shabbos with the bracha. Where did this shita come from? We didn't see this anywhere. We saw Maariv or candle lighting. What's the svar of the Magen Avraham? Where's he getting this from? Any suggestions? It sounds like to me, yeah? Good. Excellent, like the making the bracha on Yom Kippur is Mekabel Shabbos. It could be coming from that. It could also be coming from like a Rashba type approach, which is that the process of candle lighting is Mekabel Shabbos. And not just the process of candle lighting, but for the Bahag, the first act that you do is already Mekabel Shabbos. So Enoch and Ali, lighting the first candle is Mekabel Shabbos. But even making the bracha is already going to be Mekabel Shabbos, because that's your first act of a clear Shabbos introductory event. And therefore, making the bracha is already going to be Mekabel Shabbos. Okay, Magen Avraham doesn't tell us why. He quotes here from the Mordechai. I wasn't able to find it in the Mordechai. I think this is from the Mordechai here. It says, but those are the two opinions, and this is what the Magen Avraham says, that the bracha would already be a Kabbalah Shabbos, and this is certainly from a Bahag type of approach. And therefore, we first light the candles. We're Mekabel Shabbos with lighting the candles. And then we make the bracha afterwards. Oh, but then it's not over lasiyasan. So that's why we close our eyes. We don't look at the candles. We cover them. And by covering the candles, we make the bracha. And then we see the candles. And that way it's like we made a bracha on the light. That's like the little trick that we pull. And he says, that is the minhag. Now, the Bikibi Eger comments on this and says that it's a little bit hard to understand exactly what's going on here. He says, first of all, we hold in general that there's a discussion. He says that we hold that a Tanai works. You can make a Tanai and say, I'm going to be light candles, but I'm not yet being the Kabbal Shabbos. Even if lighting candles is Kabbalah, a person can make a Tanai and say, I'm lighting candles, but I'm not yet being the Kabbal Shabbos. Remember, you have to go back a step in order to really question what's going on here, because the whole thing is a little bit strange. Why is lighting candles? What was the argument of the Ron? Why is lighting candles? He says it like two or three times in the piece. Why is lighting candles considered a Kabbalah Shabbos? Don't tell me, oh, it's just like a magic trick. You light candles and that's a Kabbalah Shabbos. The Ron says it one or two times. Why is lighting candles a Kabbalah Shabbos? Right, because it's a clear Gemira's Das. Meaning, nobody is, there's not the machlokas we've shown in here about is Kabbalah's lighting candles a Kabbalah Shabbos. This is not a machlokas about is there a magic trick that once you light candles, that starts Shabbos and there's nothing you can do about it. It's that, is lighting candles a clear statement of expression, a statement that you would like to be Makabel Shabbos? So if you light candles and say explicitly, I am not being Makabel Shabbos with these candle light, with this lighting of candles, so you're not Makabel Shabbos. So the Rav Kivi Eger points out and says, there's a Tanai. And if you can make a Tanai works. The only reason why we do this is because we're being choshesh for the shitas that say that a Tanai doesn't work. That since the general practice of Klal Yisrael is that lighting candles is a Kabbalah, so in order, we want to be choshesh for the opinions that say that a Tanai doesn't work, so we do it this way. He says, but it's very clear that if you don't want to be Makabel Shabbos, you're not being Makabel Shabbos. And therefore, who in their right mind says, I'm making a bracha on candle lighting, and I want Shabbos to be started based on the bracha and not based on the candles. And now I made a bracha and I can't light candles. It's ridiculous. Obviously, when the woman makes a bracha on lighting candles, she clearly does not want to accept Shabbos until when? Until she's done lighting the candles. So don't tell me like, oh, you made a bracha? Oh, it's Kabbalah Shabbos. What do you mean? The whole idea of candles being a Kabbalah Shabbos is because that's your intention. So it's clear that the woman's intention is not to be Makabel Shabbos with the bracha alone. And he uses this also to respond, as no one responded, to respond to the Rashba's comment. The Rashba says, oh, for the Bahag, once you light one candle, that's it, it's a Kabbalah Shabbos. Wait a second. What's the motor that's powering the Kabbalah Shabbos? Your Gemira's Das. Isn't it obvious that no one has Gemira's Das after lighting one candle that they're being Makabel Shabbos? You obviously only want to be Makabel Shabbos when you're done lighting the candles. Oh, don't be medayik. Oh, the Brisa says, Hadliku es haner, one candle. No, come on. It's obvious that the intention here is what's powering things. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, he doesn't really understand in general, and he leaves it, I think, as a tzarachian, why anyone would hold that you need to light candles first and then make the bracha. You're clearly, even if you make the bracha first, you're clearly not being Makabel Shabbos until after you're done lighting the candles. Now, if you take a look a little bit later in the Siman, so the Bahag is up on the board. Not only is he quoted by name, I believe, right? Which Siman are we in? Yud, right? Siman Yud. Lebal halachos gedolos, the Shulchan Aruch quotes him by name. He gets a real shout out here in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Bahag, and the Ramah, it sounds like the Ramah comes to a compromise of sorts. The Ramah rules that a woman needs to be machmir for the Bahag. Right? The Bahag is up on the board, the halacha. When a woman lights candles, that's a Kabbalah Shabbos. However, the husband and the rest of the B'nai Beisa, right? My kids ask all the time, like, mommy lit candles, are we able to still do malacha? So the Ramah says that Shar B'nai Beis are mutarim de malacha ad barchu. So it sounds like, If I asked you, does the Bahag, are we passing like the Bahag la halacha? So we do, but it doesn't mechayev everybody in the family. It's mechayev the woman, but the rest of the family members will go based on the psak that we see in the Rush and others, that it goes based on Baruch Hu. We are out of time, but I'm just going to make a very, very quick, I'm going to take 2 minutes to just point out one other thing, which I gave you the makoros for. There's sheets by my makom, so if you want, very interesting. You could take a look at them. There is one other discussion that's very interesting that comes out of this Mogen Avram in Sifkat Yud Beis about making the bracha first and then lighting. The Magen Avraham quotes from the Prisha and from the Drisha and from the Sma, because they're all the same person, that the Prisha Drisha, which are commentaries on the Torah, and the Sma, which is a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, so he apparently had a very knowledgeable wife. If you look at the Makoto sheet, it's worth just to read the description of his wife, how she used to wake up early and open the shul, be the first one in shul. She would daven with tremendous kavanah, then she would learn Shnayim Mikra. She was a big, big Talmidah Chachama. And how she used to be at the table and get involved in the halachic decisions. And she knew more, he says, than many Mora'ei Horah. She was Mechadish Kiddushim and Hilchos Nida. So that's all quoted there in the Hakdama to the Drisha and Prisha and the Ordeya, written by the son of the Drisha and the Prisha. And it's being written about their mother, the husband, the wife of the Prisha and Drisha. So she had a chiddush. He quotes there, he says, I want to quote one of the chiddushim of my mother. Her chiddush was that only on Shabbos do you light candles first and then make the bracha. Because if we're being choshesh for the Baha'i, even though as Rabbi Akiva Eiger pointed out, it's a little strange to say this is really what the Baha'i would hold. But there are shittas that say that you need to make the bracha after, because once you make the bracha, you're mekabel Shabbos, and then you wouldn't be able to light. But on Yontif, when you're allowed to light candles on Yontif, you can light candles on Yontif. So, therefore, you should follow the regular process of first making a bracha and then lighting candles. Why? Because that's certainly more ideal in terms of the din of over lasiyasa. And therefore, she was mechadeshes that the halacha is that on Yontif, you make the bracha first and then you light candles. Now, the Magen Avraham brings this up and he has a very sharp line. He says, Ein chachma b'nashim. Now, what does David perked up? So, what does that mean? Ein chachma b'nasha. So, there's two ways to interpret what the Magen Avraham means. Either he's saying the wife of the sma is wrong. Ein chachma b'nasha. I don't accept her svara. Or he's saying women in general. This is going to be too complicated for them. If on Shabbos they're lighting first and then they're making the bracha. And then on Yontif, it's a different procedure. It gets too complicated. Let's keep the procedure the same. And he notes that we do find that in Halacha, and lest you think that he's making fun of women, he's not, because we find it by men as well. For instance, Netilas Yadayim. By Netilas Yadayim, you all know that we first wash our hands, and then we make the bracha. That's strange. What about over Lasiyasam? Make the bracha, and then wash your hands. So the Halacha is because sometimes your hands are going to be dirty first, let's say you just went to the bathroom. So you can't make the bracha first because your hands are dirty. So you're going to need to wash your hands first and then make the bracha. So because of those situations, we don't want to start confusing people. Sometimes they make the bracha first. Sometimes they don't make the bracha first. So we just make a rule across the board. First, you wash your hands and then you make the bracha. So if that's true, then what the Magen Avraham probably meant, if he's drawing it from that, and that's not by only by women, what he means by Ein Chachma B'Nashim perhaps means, I know I'm darshaning a little bit now, but maybe what he means is as follows. Chazal tell us that women have Bina Yisera. So maybe you would think that women are extra smart, and therefore, even though we normally say lo plug by men, maybe women are extra smart and women can handle it. Comes the Magen Avraham and says, women do not have extra Chachma, they're just like men. And therefore, since like by men we find that lo plug, so too by women, we're going to say low plug. Okay. So that's what I'm talking about.